Rapid fire. Honor and remembrance. I wonder if I am not a fairly good soldier. Editor's note. Throughout the Great War's centennial, the American Legion magazine will publish excerpts from the letters of D.B. Ryan of Albion, New York, who served as an Army infantry officer during the war and helped found American Legion Sherritt Post 35 in 1919. Between May 13, 1917, and June 24, 1919, my father wrote more than 320 letters and 107 postcards to his mother while he was learning how to be a U.S. Army infantry officer, while he led fighting and was twice wounded in the Meuse-Argonne Forest, and while he lingered in France taking courses at the University of Paris after the armistice. Dad was born in May 1891 in Albion, a small town on the Erie Canal in western New York. His father had died the winter before he was born, and his mother never remarried. After graduating from Albion High School at 16, he returned for 2 years of postgraduate studies. Then he went to work as a clerk in one of the town's law firms. 2 years later, he was admitted to Albany Law School, from which he graduated in 1912. Admitted to the bar, he joined an Albion bank, handling such legal contracts as mortgages. Like any good lawyer, Dad was also a good actor. He unveiled his talent in amateur theatrical productions in Albion, an interest in which he had been encouraged by his mother. Succumbing to the itch, he caught up with Jesse Bonstell's stock company, then playing in Buffalo, on a tour that landed him as an actor in New York City. There, in January 1916, he was hired by actress-producer Grace George and played minor roles in 4 Broadway productions, including George Bernard Shaw's Major Barbara and Captain Brassbound's Conversion. Later, he was hired by a Boston producer, Winthrop Ames, who was building his little theater on 44th Street, directly behind the long-standing New York Times building. For Ames, Dad stage-managed the first production in the little theater, Perrault the Prodigal, a pantomime by an imported French troupe. It opened on Christmas 1916. On tour, he wrote to his mother almost daily, sending details about where he was and what he had seen and done. Meanwhile, the United States had entered the World War and was in the process of drafting 2.8 million men from civilian life. Fresh from the Perrault tour, Dad saw the chance to enlist for training as an Army officer. He reported to Madison Barracks in Sackett's Harbor, New York, in May 1917. Dad's baptized name was Daniel Bernard Ryan. Around Albion, he was known as D.B. Ryan, the name that had been on his father's Main Street grocery store before Dad was born. Bernard, or by some of his high school mates, as Dan. Soon after returning from France, he let the Daniel fade away. Bernard Ryan, Jr. The Great War, 100. Madison Barracks, May 19, 1917. Dear Mother, thank you, dear, for the sweater, blankets, and other things. I slept very comfortably last night, and the sweater helped out until reveille this morning. Also, the underwear was mighty comfortable, and now, as the day has grown, that is too warm. Quartermaster has started sales, and reports have just come to me, like this. Socks, 13 cents. I paid 75 cents. Army overcoats, $9, shoes, $2.50, I paid $7.50, minor oiled. When I drew company equipment, they couldn't give me size. Sweaters, $2 or $3, but they have only 45 and 32 sizes, someone said. The point is, I don't seem to mind paying in order to have the thing I want when I want it, just like a millionaire. Someday I'll learn to deny myself for the moment and await the opportunity, and I'm writing this a short time after having ordered a regulation locker trunk, not through the QM, but through the exchange. I don't seem to learn, do I? Well, enough of that. While I have told you nothing about organization, etc., here it seems there is nothing much to tell. We now have all of our equipment, have had a little manual of arms, nomenclature of rifle, taking it apart, etc., had aiming exercises yesterday. Love, Son. May 26, 1917. I wonder if I'm not a fairly good soldier, not in drilling, nor manual of arms, nor any of the IDR, but generally. Everybody does so much kicking, so much complaining about sore arms, about the mess, etc. Nobody or few discipline himself. There are head and body movements at attention, and in marching, talking at ease and rest is usually executed by falling out. I'm under my third corporal. He doesn't seem to give a whoop whether his squad learns anything or is taken care of or not. There has been repeated admonition by captain and lieutenant to do things by teamwork, repeated announcement of squad leaders' responsibilities. Some are very hard working. I have great respect for my captain and for my lieutenant. The latter is the best of the four platoon leaders. I do think our captain might have started out with more strictness, so you see what I mean by thinking I am a fair soldier. Of course, I am rotten in technique, if that's what you call it, but I am at least adaptable. And when we have bayonet practice and exercise, I can't get up enough imagination to thrust that long blade into my imaginary enemy's entrails with vigorous enthusiasm. Strange, isn't it, to be training for that? Read Hugh Britting's letter home about his first taste of battle, and you will find the change of attitude which I must undergo if I ever get to the trenches in France. On the other hand, remember that we are training here to train others later. If we get commissions, we will probably be kept at that for some time. And it seems to me, as I have set forth above, that my chances for a commission are fair if I ever learn this stuff. May 27, 1917. It occurs to me that I haven't told you anything about the routine. Reveille is at 5:30, except Sunday, which is at 6:10. One has to be dressed and in line. Then he makes up his bunk, sweeps about it, washes, and goes to breakfast at 6. First formation is at 7, and we are kept busy until 12. Mess is at 12:20. Next formation at 1:30. Busy till 4:30. Then we are free until retreat at 5:40. Mess is at 6, and study is from 7 to 9. Lights out at 10 p.m. If one has any free moments, there's always a rifle to clean. We had our first inspection of arms yesterday. Certain parts we had been instructed not to clean, the bore and the magazine. Well, the sergeant who examined mine said it was the cleanest he had seen yet, which included most of the rear rank of the platoon. Then along came the lieutenant and found dirt in the corners of my bayonet belt. The rifles came from the arsenal, completely covered with a protecting and sticky preparation to keep dampness and rust away. It's the dickens of a job to get that stuff off. Tomorrow I will be 26. Think of it, and what it means to you, brave dear mother. Love, Bernard. Share your story. Contribute to American Legion magazine's Salute to Nurses. If a military or VA nurse has made a significant impact on your life, perhaps even saved it, join the American Legion magazine and Legion.org in a grateful salute to those who have provided comfort, care, and life-saving medical skill to help veterans and military personnel through their most difficult times. And if you are a military or VA nurse, share with the readers of the American Legion magazine and Legion.org a meaningful moment or a patient from your experience as a care provider. Nurses, patients, and witnesses to great care and compassion by nurses are invited to submit their stories and upload photos at www.legion.org/legiontown. Select Salute to Nurses as the category. Submissions will be reviewed and posted on the national website. Selected submissions will be included in the September issue of the magazine. Legion Riders, register for 2017 Legacy Run. Registration for the 2017 Legacy Run is open via www.legion.org/riders or mail with a printable form. This year's run will depart August 12th from the Kansas Soldiers Home in Fort Dodge, Kansas, for a six-day trip that will conclude at the 99th American Legion National Convention in Reno, Nevada, on August 17th. Registration information, including cost, is available online. The Legacy Run raises funds for the Legacy Scholarship Fund, which provides college scholarships for children of U.S. service members killed on active duty on or after 9/11, or new this year, post-9/11 veterans with a combined VA-determined service disability rating of at least 50%. Non-riding supporter registrations are also available. www.legion.org/riders. Commander to Congress, time to modernize appeals. Weaving the American Legion's 2017 legislative priorities into a narrative of its 98-year history, National Commander Charles E. Schmidt led Legion testimony before a joint session of the House and Senate Veterans Affairs Committees March 1st. Nearly 117,000 Americans gave their lives to successfully liberate Europe, Schmidt said of World War I veterans. The American Legion was born of this generation. Our legislative agenda, in a new era of global war, bears many resemblances to that of our first generation. That includes compassionate treatment for service-connected mental health conditions, defined as shell shock or combat fatigue at the time, now known as post-traumatic stress disorder. Referring to the wait time manipulation scandals of 2014, Schmidt identified access to care as VA's prevailing problem. He also asked for Congress to pass legislation to modernize the veterans' appeals process. No one should have to wait a decade for an answer from VA, he said. Recalling the Legion's flag conference of 1923, Schmidt urged lawmakers to support a constitutional amendment to return to Congress the power to protect the U.S. flag from physical desecration. Such acts are not free speech, but behavior that can incite violence, he said. With the Legion's centennial nearing, Schmidt reminded the committees the legislation is being drafted for the U.S. Mint to strike a commemorative coin and issue a U.S. postage stamp. We would be honored to count on your support for both the coin and the stamp, in tribute not so much to the American Legion as a branded veteran service organization, but to the American Legion as a symbol of democracy, liberty, fairness, and opportunity, he said. The American Legion Washington Conference. I have a request for each of you. Hold me and my congressional colleagues accountable. Be vocal. Be relentless. Senator John Tester, Democrat, Montana, ranking member of the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee, speaking to American Legion family members during the commander's call, attendees proceeded to visit their representatives on Capitol Hill to talk about the Legion's legislative priorities. It's a scary proposition to leave your job and try to generate income on your own. There's no way to alleviate that, but I at least want to diminish it a little bit and help them get started. Charles McCaffrey, director of the Veterans Business Outreach Center at Community Business Partnership in Virginia, on leading a Boots to Business reboot workshop for aspiring veteran entrepreneurs. The conference also included a resume workshop, job fair, and other events to help veterans and transitioning service members prepare for the next phase of their careers. I am the person I am today, if there's any small measure of success I have achieved, because of the comradeship and the love and struggle we waged together. Senator John McCain, Republican, Arizona, on his experiences as a Vietnam War POW, McCain received the American Legion's Distinguished Public Service Award. $4,800, cash value of Operation Comfort Warriors, OCW, items donated to the U.S. Vets Homeless Center by the Department of D.C. $500,000 plus, cash value of OCW grants to veterans across the nation in the past 3 years. $975,000, call volume to the Veterans Benefits Administration's call center in August 2016, according to Interim VA Undersecretary for Benefits Thomas Murphy, during a presentation to the Veterans Affairs and Rehabilitation Commission. $175,000, call volume after staff at the center was increased from 700 to 1,100. Membership. New posts. Sergeant Shane Duffy, Post 500, Taunton, Massachusetts, chartered November 28, 15 members. Joe P. Jocelyn, Jr., Post 23, Cotter, Arkansas, chartered November 7th, 20 members. Chancellor A. Kiesling, Post 306, Plainfield, Indiana, chartered September 29th, 20 members. Operating Engineers Local Post Number 139, Coloma, Wisconsin, chartered September 15th, 14 members. Post 152, White Bird, Idaho, chartered September 15th, 19 members. Sodbusters Post 307, Sibley, North Dakota, chartered September 8th, 18 members. Post 589, Warrenville, Illinois, chartered September 7th, 18 members. Mark Gardino Sr., Post 410, Rockledge, Illinois, chartered September 7th, 15 members. National Convention. Country singer McCoy to perform at banquet, serve as Master of Ceremonies. Neil McCoy, a country music mainstay who has sold more than 6 million records, will MC the opening of the 99th National Convention in Reno, Nevada on August 22nd and perform at the National Commander's Banquet that evening. The Texas native has 3 platinum albums and 5 country number one singles to his credit and has performed in 15 USO shows around the world. Last year, McCoy began reciting the Pledge of Allegiance every morning on Facebook Live. His page, www.facebook.com/Neil McCoy Music, has racked up tens of millions of views. Tickets for the National Commander's Banquet are $47. Those interested in attending should contact their department adjutants. American Legion Family Night with the Reno Aces. On August 21st, the Reno Aces baseball team will take on the Fresno Grizzlies at Greater Nevada Field. The game will begin at 7:05 p.m. Discounted tickets are available for pre-sale upon availability. Credit cards will not be charged until 2 weeks prior to game day. 775-334-7018. www.legion.org/convention. Register for convention contests. The National Convention Color Guard Contest will be at 5 p.m. August 18th in Hall 4 on the first floor of the Reno Sparks Convention Center. Application forms are due in the 4 classes, Advancing and Retiring, Military, Military Open, and Open, by July 14th. The National Convention Band Contest will be at 1 p.m. August 19th in rooms F1 through 8 on the first floor of the Convention Center. Application forms are due in the Concert Band or Exhibition Concert Band class by May 31st. Participating groups in both contests will march in the National Convention Parade on August 20th. www.legion.org/convention. Convention Marketing Opportunities. The 2017 Convention Marketing Opportunities Package is available online with exhibitor and sponsorship information for companies wishing to reach the American Legion family during its largest annual gathering. Hours for the exhibit hall in the Reno Sparks Convention Center will be 8 a.m. to 3:30 p.m., August 18th to 19th, and August 21st, and 8 a.m. to 2 p.m., August 20th and August 22nd. www.legion.org/convention. 317-630-1393, a.watson@legion.org. Honor and Remembrance, 12th Armored Division still going strong, 70 years after disbanding. More than 70 years after the 12th Armored Division was disbanded, its veterans and supporters continue to honor and remember their comrades. Ed Deitch, a member of American Legion Post 123 in Berlin, Maryland, thinks of one battle buddy in particular, Alberto Garcia Gill, nicknamed Cookie, during the group's reunions. "I had my hand on his back," Deitch recalls. "I was trying to push him down, but he raised himself up. I said, 'Down, Cookie.' He went down awfully hard, and I heard a thud. A sniper had killed him. Everyone in the outfit liked Cookie." Deitch was among the 18 members of the 12th Armored Division and more than 200 family members and friends who remembered Cookie and others during last year's 70th annual reunion in Arlington, Virginia. This summer, they will celebrate the 75th anniversary of the division's formation. In addition to remembering their comrades, members of the 12th will share the unit's brief but impressive history. The 12th Armored Division is known by its nickname, the Hellcats, which conveys its toughness in combat. The division captured more than 72,000 enemy soldiers while liberating 8,500 Allied prisoners of war and tens of thousands of Holocaust survivors. In the division's 102 days of combat, the 12th lost more than 900 men. Deitch, who was a medic, recalls discovering Holocaust victims. His memories remain vivid to this day: the stench of burning flesh, the massive wooden gates leading to the iron doors of the oven, and the bodies piled up inside. "It was horrible," he says. "There were a lot of bodies lying up against stone walls, but some of them were not dead. They needed deeper medical treatment and medications to bring them around. We did the best we could do. Anything I could do with first aid, I did it. We got them back to field hospitals, where they gave them more treatment to try to build their health back up. You don't forget about that too easily. I've had some sleepless nights thinking about it." Over the years, the members of the 12th have forged a special camaraderie that's now shared by their families, says historian Bob Scherer, whose father, Lieutenant Walter Scherer, served with the 12th. "My dad would talk about friends he didn't want to forget," Scherer says. "It's painful, but the pain gets duller. It's kind of like when you lose a loved one. It gets duller, but it's still there. It's critical to their sense of self. They know that without these guys, they wouldn't be who they were." Each year, on the first full day of the reunion, veterans and supporters participate in a private memorial service. Representatives from various units of the 12th Division read names of those who passed away since the previous reunion, then place a rose and a vase in front of their unit's plaque. The memorial is a way to honor the Hellcats and Hellkittens, veteran spouses, says Wesley Ferguson, who served with the 12th. I knew some whose names were read last year. I've lost some real good friends. Personal Finance, USAA, How to Plan for the Inevitable. Focus on Finances, J.J. Montanaro. Through my 20-plus years in financial planning, I know most people don't like to discuss death and disability, but avoiding them can cause financial trouble and even ruin. Consider ahead of time what's best for your estate should you die or become incapacitated to minimize the headache and the heartache. Here are five moves to consider. Square away beneficiary designations. I've worked with people who inadvertently had their ex-spouse listed as a beneficiary on IRAs, life insurance, or the like. I've even had cases where the ex-spouse was a joint owner on investment accounts. If that's your intent, fine. But in most cases, it probably isn't. Examine all your accounts and employer benefits to ensure you've named the correct person. Include the right people in your plan. Whether you're naming an agent to make decisions for you in the event you can't, selecting an executor or successor trustee to manage things when you're gone, or choosing who will take care of your kids, go with the A-team to make sure it's done correctly. And remember, the A-team 10 years ago may not be the A-team today. Establish a game plan. Your wishes don't instantly translate into action. To make things happen after you're gone, you will need to establish wills, trusts, powers of attorney, both medical and financial, and a letter of instruction detailing your wishes and providing what your key players need to know when the time comes. A qualified estate planning attorney can help you assemble the plan. Update your plan. When I started in this business in the early 1990s, the estate tax kicked in at $600,000. That has since changed. So if the plan you're using today was drawn up in accord with that rule, you could face unintended consequences. In the same vein, financial institutions may be less likely to recognize a 25-year-old power of attorney than one drawn up a couple of years ago. Review your insurance. Life, disability, long-term care, and health insurance all have direct or indirect effects on your estate planning. Have you asked yourself if the policy you bought 30 years ago makes sense today? If you haven't, it's time. Education. Yearly cap on tuition and fees. My GI Bill. Veterans and Education by Valerie Hefner. Question. I qualify for post-9/11 GI Bill benefits and am enrolled at a private university for which there is a yearly tuition cap. Will I still receive my monthly housing allowance? Answer, VA will pay a private or foreign school lesser of the actual net cost for tuition and fees after any waiver, scholarship, aid, or assistance provided directly to the institution and specifically designated for defraying tuition and fees up to $21,970.46 for the academic year August 1, 2016 through July 31, 2017. Ask your school if it participates in the Yellow Ribbon program to help with any extra tuition and fees once you have met that yearly cap. If you meet the tuition cap, the school will still certify you for your benefits to receive your monthly housing allowance. Centennial, Post 72, Anaheim, California. Post 72 in Anaheim, California, has a display case full of mementos from its participation in local parades, some dating back to the post's founding in 1919. Among them is an early photo of the post's entry in Anaheim's first Armistice Day parade on November 11, 1920. Post Commander Paul Dice says he is working on cataloging Post 72's many trophies and certificates prior to the American Legion Centennial, which begins in August 2018. Military Affairs. States with highest levels of active reserve personnel. California, 190,160. Texas, 173,118. North Carolina, 129,049. Virginia, 117,084. Florida, 94,288. Georgia, 88,521. Washington, 65,731. New York, 50,824. South Carolina, 50,426. Hawaii, 49,347. Maryland, 49,187. Legion Charities. Donate your vehicle to help Legion programs. Owners of unused vehicles can donate them for tax breaks while benefiting American Legion programs. The American Legion Vehicle Donation Program accepts trucks, vans, SUVs, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more. Proceeds from auction sales via Insurance Auto Auctions, IAA, will go toward Legion charities and programs. IAA accepts vehicles in almost any condition, whether they can be driven or not, in all 50 states. Those wishing to donate a vehicle should fill out a form online at www.legion.org/donate/auto or call 844-353-4466. You will be contacted within 48 hours for free pickup arrangements. For more information about the program, visit www.legion.org/donate/auto/FAQ.